So this morning, most of you that we've already talked about it is, you know that this year we're going through a lot of transitions here at Trinity. In January, we reorganized our ministry structure and we also approved new bylaws. Now with your approval of those bylaws, we now have counselor advocate and new ministry team leader positions that we need to fill. Now these positions also create changes on our leadership team. And in addition, we're in the process of trying to fill the lead pastor as well as the children's ministry director. So transition is a good word for us to use at this time in Trinity. And during this time, God has been putting one word on my heart, and that word is unity. He's been putting unity on my heart. Transitions are much easier to handle when people come together to support each other. At Trinity, one of our core values is church unity over personal preference. We have five core values. One of them is church unity over personal preference. And during this time period, that becomes even more important because if we want to prosper as a church, we need to be united as a church. And there are many things that are needed to achieve unity, but I want to focus on one this morning, and that is mission. We are to be united as a church in one common mission. In fact, in January, we voted to approve a new mission statement. But before I talk about that, I want to go back in time a little bit to 2013. In 2013, we adopted a new vision or mission called Vision 2020. That vision was to see undecided people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Now, over the last 6 years, that statement unfortunately has created some confusion, especially around the word undecided. What does that mean? Who is an undecided person? See, a mission statement is supposed to be easily stated and understood within a few moments. And we started to realize that ours started to require too much explanation, and we wanted to simplify it. So, with a raise of hands, how many of you know what our mission statement is? All right, now look on the screen behind me. With a raise of hands, how many of you know what our mission statement is? Helping people love and follow Jesus. Say it with me. Helping people love and follow Jesus. Andy Stanley once said, if people are tired of hearing your mission or vision, then you're not saying it enough. And to be honest, without placing blame on anyone, we are not saying this enough here at Trinity because this mission needs to become part of our DNA. It needs to become part of our identity of who we are as a church. We all need to know it, helping people love and follow Jesus, and we need to become united around that mission. And in reality, our previous mission statement was saying the same thing. However, this one's easier to say and understand. And let me say one more thing about Vision 2020. We're not technically eliminating that vision because we still want the same thing. We want people to love and follow Jesus no matter how we word it. So let's talk about our new statement, helping people love and follow Jesus. It's straightforward, it's biblical. But we still have one question that goes along with that mission statement, and that's how. How do we help people love and follow Jesus? Well, if you've read our bylaws and you look on the very, very front page, you'd see that mission statement. And right underneath it, you'd see a scripture reference. And that scripture reference is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. But since I want to explain this mission statement further today, I wanted to add some more context to that passage. So this morning's scripture reading is Ephesians 3, verses 7 to 21. The entire passage is in the insert that's in your bulletin. There's also a Bible in front of you. Feel free also to grab your cell phone if you have a Bible app. Don't be embarrassed to grab your cell phone in church. A lot of people have their Bible app, so I feel free to use that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 21. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything on heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so I want to use this passage to answer the question I posed earlier. How do we help people love and follow Jesus? Well, my answer is through three types of relationships. And those three types of relationships are up, in, and out. An up relationship is with God. An in relationship is with other believers. And an out relationship is with non-believers. Up, in, and out. So let's start with up. The first step toward having an up relationship is developing a reverence for God. We must develop an appreciation and a respect for God. And in order for us to revere God, we must first learn about God. We must discover the reasons why we should revere God, why we should respect and appreciate him. So what reasons does Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 21 give us concerning our reverence for God? I'm going to go through a list. Verse 7 tells us that God is gracious, and he's also powerful. Verse 9 says he's the creator of all things. Verse 10 tells us that he has a rich variety of wisdom. Verse 11 tells us that God is eternal. Verse 12 tells us that we can come into his presence. Verse 15 tells us again that God is the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Verse 16 tells us that he has glorious and unlimited resources. It also says that he can give us his Spirit to empower and strengthen us. Verse 18 explains the width, length, height, and depth of God's love, which if you read the rest of the Bible, you will know it's unconditional, it's everlasting, it's without prejudice. Verse 19 tells us that through him, we can be made complete with all his fullness of life and power. And verse 20 tells us that he can accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Those all sound like pretty good reasons to me to revere God. So as we can see, the best way to develop a reverence for God is to know who he is and to understand what he's willing to do for us. When we understand those things, we can learn to appreciate and respect God. And that's just the first part of developing an up relationship. The second part of developing an up relationship is putting our faith in Jesus. I want you to notice some key details in our passage this morning. We read that God's endless treasures are available to us in Christ. God's eternal plan was carried out through Christ. Because of Christ and our faith in Christ, we can boldly and confidently come into God's presence. Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Though we can't understand it fully, we can experience the love of Christ. Glory is given to God in Christ. I think you can see a pattern here in Ephesians chapter 3. So to summarize, everything God offers, which includes his plan, his wisdom, his resources, his treasures, his love, his strength, his grace, his power, and his life, is given to us in Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ. All of these things are available because Jesus restored the gap between God and us through his sacrificial death on the cross. But not all humans have received God's gifts. Why not? Because there's a stipulation. In order to receive God's gifts, we must put our faith and trust in Jesus. And not everyone does that. When you read your Bible, always look for words like and, but, therefore, if, then, as. I'll give you two examples. How do we boldly and confidently come into God's presence? Because of Christ and our faith in him. It's not or, it's and. When we experience the love of Christ, then we will be made complete with his fullness of life and power. In order to develop an up relationship, therefore, we need to have a reverence for God, and we need to put our faith in Jesus. However, there's one more piece of the puzzle towards developing an up relationship, and that is learning to live through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We must respond to the Holy Spirit. According to verses 16 to 20 in our passage, the Holy Spirit empowers us with inner strength. He reveals the magnitude of God's love for us, and he allows God's mighty power to be at work within us. Once the Holy Spirit performs these actions, then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Once our roots grow down into God's love and keep us strong, then we will be made complete. Then God can accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So in summary, we develop an up relationship by appreciating and respecting God for his character and abilities, by believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and by responding to the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. But an up relationship is only the first step toward helping people love and follow Jesus. The second step is to develop an in relationship with fellow believers. And I feel that many of those in relationships should be within our church, because helping people love and follow Jesus is not my mission. It's not your mission. It's our mission. Helping people love and follow Jesus is our mission, and we should be on mission together, united as one. The best way I found to describe an in relationship is discipleship. We need to create disciples here at Trinity, and then those disciples need to create more disciples, and so on. So on the screens behind me, you will see two equations that, in my opinion, summarize what I mean by an in relationship. So we have sanctification by the Holy Spirit in us, meaning the Holy Spirit is changing us, the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk. It's changing us from the inside, he is. And then you add that to the training by the Holy Spirit in others. So we're all being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and we're all training each other through the Holy Spirit. That equals growth and maturity for all of us. That's how we become united as disciples. And then that growth and maturity, plus God's sovereignty, plus God's will, plus God's plan, his control, his decision-making, his wisdom, that equals discipleship. It's all in one. And through this process, we can become united as a church because we're supporting each other. We're caring for each other. We're teaching each other. Not just biblical knowledge, but we're teaching each other through our own personal experience as well. That could be through small groups, through Sunday morning messages, through lobby conversations after the service. You know, we need to be helping each other grow and become mature. We need to help each other become disciples. If we all utilized our God-given gifts and talents, if we all put forth a little more effort, if we all cared not only for our spiritual growth, but for the spiritual growth of others, if we took more time to read our Bibles and understand God more fully, if we learned to live in response to the Holy Spirit, we would help more and more and more people love and follow Jesus. So helping each other love and follow Jesus and become disciples is great. It's important, but we can't stop there. There's a third part to our mission, and that is an out relationship. We need to have an out relationship with people who do not know Jesus. And if we're being honest with each other, that's the relationship we all struggle with the most, including me. I want people to know Jesus. That's why I do this job. But there are multiple times when I have crumbled under the pressure of sharing the gospel with someone, and I have missed opportunities to help people love and follow Jesus. Don't think just because I'm a pastor, I don't struggle with the same things that you struggle with, because I do. It can feel like a daunting task, because here's why. Most of us are people pleasers, right? We don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to have tough conversations with people. We certainly don't want to be rejected. We typically want people to like us. So sometimes it's easier just to say nothing and just let it go. We'd also prefer to ignore certain chapters of the Bible that we don't like Luke chapter 21. And we definitely don't like verses 16 and 17 in Luke chapter 21, which say, even those close, this is Jesus speaking about the end times, the events leading up to the end times. He says, even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. Some of them, they will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. Here's what I love about God, though. He already knows this will happen. But instead of just letting it happen, he's warning us. He's warning us so that we'll do something about it. He's warning us so we can help people love and follow Jesus. We can make the number of betrayers, killers, and haters lower, which means that the number of disciples is higher, which means more people get to be with Jesus. He's not warning us to discourage us. He's warning us to motivate us. So we must make sure we don't stop reading Luke 21 when we get to verses 16 and 17 because we'll miss the good news. Verses 18 and 19. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. If we do our best to help people love and follow Jesus, we will not perish. They will not perish. If we stand firm and boldly share the gospel, souls will be saved. That is good news. And a statement like that should motivate us. But here's where reality steps in. There's a difference between believing the word of God and acting on the word of God. There's a difference between believing and obedience. So I want to bring some realistic motivation to you today. There are other forces at play that are beyond our control in this world. It may seem like people reject the gospel for simple reasons, but we must remember that the world is filled with sin and sinners, just like us. Sin is an obstacle to the gospel. In addition, Satan is working behind the scenes to make sure people reject the gospel. If you share the gospel with someone, you better believe that there are evil forces that are sharing thoughts with them as well. That's stupid. That's not real. This person is lying to you. They're crazy. They're part of a cult. They're just trying to brainwash you. Don't listen to them. I thought I was supposed to be motivating you. Well, here it is. Sin may be an obstacle to the gospel, but Jesus overcame sin. And guess what? Satan's influence is only temporary. The only reason Satan has influence in the first place is because God allows it. Listen, God is the creator of everything. He's always present. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He has glorious and unlimited resources that he will use to fulfill his plan. His mighty power is at work within us. The Holy Spirit empowers and strengthens us. God's love is fully embedded in our roots. His fullness of life and power make us complete. He will accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Despite all our fears, our anxieties, our flaws, despite our trials, our frustrations, our sufferings, despite Satan's influence and the sin of the world, we have Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We need to be united in our mission because we are God's examples. God is using us. He is using Trinity Church to prove his wisdom, his holiness, his love, and his sovereignty to the entire universe, both in heaven and on earth. We are his church, and he is our God. Amen? Let me close with this. I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying that most of us in here have a solid up relationship. We have a solid up relationship with God. And I also don't think I'm wrong in saying that most of us have quality in relationships with each other, with other believers, within this church. But I know I'm not alone in saying that we have very little out relationships. Most of us have very little out relationships. And I get it, it's hard. The Bible tells us not to be of this world. And there are some people referred to as fundamentalists who think we should remove ourselves from the world. But that's not biblical truth. That's not the truth. Because how are people supposed to believe in the gospel if they never have a chance to hear it? How are Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus going to discover the truth if we avoid them instead of talking to them? How are alcoholics, drug addicts, criminals, and homeless people going to find hope if we ignore them or neglect them? How are our children going to cope with this world if we don't teach them who Jesus is, if we don't show them Jesus? Our mission at Trinity is to help people love and follow Jesus, and this means all people, no matter where they're from, no matter who they are, what they believe. We are called to reach all people. If we want to win souls, we need to be united around this mission, helping people love and follow Jesus. Are you tired of hearing it yet? Good, because I'm not done saying it. Helping people love and follow Jesus is our mission. Finally, I want to leave you with two questions to help you build better relationships with people. I want you to take these questions seriously. I want you to meditate on them, pray about them, and thoroughly consider your answers to them. One, who is God bringing into your life right now? Who is God bringing into your life? And who is God inviting you to reach? They could be the same person, or they could be more than one person. Who is God bringing into your life right now, and who is God inviting you to reach? Once you determine your answers, I encourage you to boldly and confidently act on them, knowing that God will help you, knowing that you are filled with God's Spirit, his love, his power, and his strength. You are not alone in this. He is here to help us, help people love and follow Jesus. Don't allow your anxieties or your sin to get the best of you. We need to help God save souls. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.